when it says, just stomp shot, where it says, when in Vayigash, when he revealed himself to his brothers, so he says that, Vayomer Yosef el Echov ani Yosef ha'od ovi choy. V'lo yochlu Echov lanos osel ki nivol v'ponov. Right? So, the question is, what do you mean? He knew he was alive. He asked him five times before. Everything else, and he says, what is that? Shalom lav, lavdechem avichem adenochoy. He asked him many times. So what is it? And what does it say? V'lo yochlu echov lanos osel ki nivalu miponav. You see? What are they supposed to answer? If it was just like a rhetorical question. Just saying, okay, he wants to say something to them to show that, he's really a brother. So he said, there's nothing to answer to such a question. And if it were a real question, what kind of a question is it? So it's interesting. You have a Torah to me, give me a Torah to me. Man is saying, right, is that Chazal say that they say Kalvachomer from here, there's Kalvachomer from here, that Madach, one of the Chazal used to cry when he got to this pasuk. Yeah, the Gemara says, it's a Gemara Chagiga Daf Dalet. Torah to me brings down. Rabbi Elazar ki moti lahai kravi bachi. Omar, he said, Umato chocha shal basav adom ksiv bo v'lo yochlu echav lanos oso ki nivol miponov. Tel chocha shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu alachas kama v'chama. Okay. So it means to say, what it means to say is that a tochach of a bus of a dumb is, well, most people, by the way, don't think that that's true. Most people are more afraid of a tochach of a bus of a dumb than a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Happens to be true. Yeah. What does the Gemara say? Chazal say, halavai, we should be afraid, we should have a Yerushalayim as much as we're afraid of people. Yeah, be on that level would be very good. If we're equal, it would be good. Because most people always feel, with God I can work it out. That's because they have most people have a built-in sense of righteousness. Man has such a kind of a thing. And he really feels that, insofar as God is concerned, there's no problem. A ganach is also mispalled to God. He thinks he's right. He thinks he deserves the money. That's it. This is God's will. Okay? So, most people, are not on a level to understand what the Imam Chazal is, because they don't have, they're devoid of a realistic view of themselves. That's really the difference between Chazal and between a regular person. A regular person is just operates based upon psychological mechanisms. Whereas Chazal, with their das, they were able to remove themselves and even view themselves totally objectively. And what did Rava say? Rava said that I'm a Benini. It's a difficult thing to imagine him saying that. But that's only possible if you could be in a position to judge yourself. People are not in a position to judge themselves, period. That's it. The whole idea is not sensible. You see, the Chazal were on that level. They were able to really look at themselves totally objectively and judge themselves. So what they said was that the tochach of a bus of a dumb is really the tochach of a bus of a dumb is what do you call it? Is tochach of a bus of a dumb is something which is difficult to face because emotionally it's difficult, but the tochach can never really be that deep. Because it's only a bus of a dumb. Okay, it's only a bus of a dumb. But the Tochach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one which is whatever it is, it's in its ultimate form. Okay, in its ultimate form. And since the essence of man is really not what he thinks it is, which is the emotions, so there's a real, when a person relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Yom HaDin, it's his reality principle that's relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the reality principle is the essence of man. So if the essence of man is shaken, it must be much more painful to the entity which is being addressed. Okay, it's based upon the idea of what the Rambam says in Sanhedrin, in the Pirshim Mishnayos. that we do not know what the soul really is. Because in this existence, the soul is tied up to the body, to the physical, and it only can function, but it doesn't exist as a real entity in this existence, because our pleasures and our pains, everything is tied to the psychological. Okay, there's no real hanor ruchni in this existence, but la'achamisa, that's when the entity of the soul really emerges. Okay. So that entity is going to be, which is more real, by the way, more real of an entity than what we have. Of course, the psychological is physical, and the person dies. It's a temporary type of a thing. It doesn't have the reality of soul. So if the kal v'chomer is really a double kal v'chomer, actually. First of all, insofar as that thing which is affected, which is only the emotions, doesn't have as real existence as the soul. So a bus or a dumb really affects your emotions. And secondly, insofar as the criticism is concerned, the criticism of a bus or a dumb can never be the same as the criticism of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I mean, as smart as and intelligent as he is, man's knowledge is limited, and is always deficient, has to be deficient. And the Tocha itself cannot really be on a full-blown in its ultimate form. So that's what Chazal was saying. But so Rebbe Lazar is when I was going to say Rebbe Lazar when he matulai krav v'bachi, it means to say Rebbe Lazar. Rebbe Lazar cried. The average person wouldn't know what to cry about. I mean, it's based upon philosophical ideas, and besides the ability to judge himself, it's based upon the philosophical concepts, and most people wouldn't be affected by that. But you see from the Chazal, what do you see from the Chazal? From the Chazal, you see clearly that it was a tochacha. So what's the tochacha? And besides, why should he be machiach them at this point? On the contrary, it seems that he was really trying to he is crying, and he's trying to really to appease them, I mean, and to encourage friendship, and do away with any kind of ill feelings. I mean, that's the way it seems from I mean, as a matter of fact, I mean, if you want to say there was a pasuk of tochacha, I would say it's the next pasuk. That's tochacha. That's tochacha. That's not the tochacha. So what do you mean? First you get into tochacha and then he says al te'atzvu. It doesn't make any sense. It's ridiculous. If you want to make somebody feel good, you don't give him a tochacha. Okay? Yeah. Maybe it's like this. What the Chazal is based on, Chazal really understand the pasuk, and it is tochacha, but it's an indirect tochacha. What it means like this. It means that a person can deal with tragedy in two ways. A person can deal with tragedy by facing the tragedy and enduring the pain. And in that case, the pain is always there. Or a person can deal with tragedy by simply putting it out of their minds completely. Just making believe that it never happened. It doesn't exist. And when people do that, what happens is the personality changes, you see, because the mind does not really ever allow itself to be put out of commission, you see, to be put out of commission without any kind of negative reaction. You can't just do that. Human mind isn't made that way. You can't just take information in your mind and just block it off and expect to do that without any kind of reaction, negative results, without any results. You can't do that. Your mind can't do that. So what happens to those people is that on the surface, you know, they seem better, and it's called, in many situations, in the medical situation, it's called denial. Okay, denial. But it's not just medical. I mean, denial is a phenomenon that takes place all the time. When a person goes into denial, that's not good, because it's an immediate gain, but in the long run, it's a great loss. see. Long run, it's a great loss. And it means the personality changes, and the person is harmed in ways that he doesn't even know. And it could reach a point where you don't even recognize the individual anymore, because so many things take place. One chain reaction of mental phenomena can take place where the whole personality changes and people are completely different. I mean, I've seen people like that. There's a fellow who used to come down Lakewood Yeshiva. He was from Europe, and never he lost his family in the concentration camps with the Talmud Chacham. And he completely went off his rocker. But I say off his rocker, it wasn't a raving lunatic. His whole personality changed. And he still knew, it was funny. I mean, once in a while he talked to him a little bit long, but only for a few seconds, you know. And he was never, he used to walk around, you know, disheveled, and never got married again. And he was a real Ani. He was an Ani, like I mentioned before, that they couldn't go for a welfare bureau or a board or anything, because he simply was totally incapable. Nice person, but you couldn't reach him. You couldn't reach his personality. His personality was completely gone, you see. That's the worst danger. That's the worst danger. If a person faces the tragedy, no matter how bad it is, no matter how painful consciously it is, they're always better off. Always better off. So that's really what Yosef said. Yoma Yosef Alacha Ani Yosef Ha'od Ovichai. That's what he asked. Is he still my father? In other words, does he still relate to me as a father? Does he remember me? Does he think of me? Is he still does he still have the same feelings that he had for me? Or was it such a traumatic event that he simply totally removed me from his existence? And his whole mentality, you know, his whole personality has changed. That's what he really asked him. That's why it says, V'loyachlu echov lano so-so. They couldn't answer ki nivalu mipono. It meant that in order to answer that question, they would have to face the fact, the question itself included the concept that that's what they did to their father. And they placed them in total mental jeopardy. And that's what they couldn't answer. So he didn't really mean it as a tochacha. He didn't really mean it as tochacha. He meant it because he was concerned about his father's well-being. That's why he asked the question. But it came out that it was an unbelievable tochacha, because the question assumes that, presupposes, you know, That's why he's asking them the question. He asking the question because that's what they really did to the father. So that's why they couldn't answer. That's good, right? It's very good. It's excellent. Very good. Very good. Very good. Maxim says, "Yeah, that's right." Because when they it's very good. It says, but it wasn't the way Yosef. But that's correct. What I say, you see, when a chacham talks, there's always something there. Like the chazal we did last week, that kilas chacham afil achim yibah, because there's something to it. So you see from the psukim, you see a corroboration from the psukim that Yosef wasn't just asking a question, but he knew his father and he knew how close the relationship was, and he knew that it was possible that his whole psyche should simply become totally disturbed, and he should be mentally changed and even incapacitated. That's why he asked that's why he asked the question. And you see that he was partially correct. I mean, it turned out that he wasn't totally. Didn't actually happen that he was totally changed. He was still his av. But you see that when they came to him, says, "Vayigilo lolema Joseph Chayichim Mashu Arzvan Vayofag Libo Ki Lohem In Lohem." It means to say that it just shows. I mean, that it was definitely a traumatic. It was a traumatic kind of a phenomena for him to even think that his son is still alive. So they say Yosef was on track. Why? I mean, the fact that he said ki Ariel b'ni Ovo Sha'ola does not necessarily mean that he will face it through to the end. It doesn't necessarily mean that. It means at that time That's how tragic it was that he says, I am not capable of any type of tanhomen. Tanhomen, don't waste your time trying to menachem me. That's impossible. But what's going to happen along the road? I mean, one doesn't know. One doesn't know. I mean, you know, the psyche is, with the psyche, I mean, there are two things, there are two elements. There's the extent of the pain of the event, and then there's the time process. That person is chamal aslan under the tragic situation. It keeps on going longer and longer, wearing away at the individual. Different things happen all the time. So you can't judge from the initial reaction. The only thing you see the initial reaction is that it is the most horrible thing for him to experience. And he definitely thought at that time that he, you know, Kiyeril B'Niyavah Sha'olah meant that, he will always think about it. He wasn't going to intend to escape from it, but no one can know. Nobody can know. I mean, Yaakov was a realistic individual. It shows you the strength of character he had, that he never did go into any kind of denial about it, and he was constantly thinking about in the back of his mind that Yosef really still, you see from the statements that he made, Chazal Shel, that in the back of his mind he was hoping that he was still alive. So he didn't just remove himself from the situation. No question about it. There are a lot of Rashis. One Rashi is, of course, a person that, and that's exactly that, that's true. There's a lot of things. First of all, it's a psychological phenomenon that the person doesn't know for sure, 100%, that the one that they're mourning is dead. So then in the back of their mind, they never feel, not fine. That's one thing. But then he was Hoshid, the brothers, and the all kinds of things. What's it? Vayofag libo, right? Nechlaf libo. Nechlaf libo. Yofag libo. It's Kilohem in Lahem. Yeah. Kilohem in Lahem. It means, Rashi says it means Nechlaf libo. I mean, it sounds like it means, just as an inclusive of Ahava Milaya Poygan. I don't know the exact meaning. Rashi says Nechlaf libo v'holach. It means, say, Vayofag means it ran away. Vayofag libo. He didn't believe it. But what kind of reaction was that? What kind of reaction was that, basically? That was a reaction, really, that a person has. If a person had a great loss, and then the person finds out that maybe there's hope, if the tragedy is so great, the person cannot take a chance of re-experiencing that loss again. Because that was so painful that they'll never put themselves in that situation. So therefore, when they told him that Yosef is chai, he couldn't accept it, because if this turns out not to be true, then he knew he'd be gone. He cannot accept it. He can't go through this again. So therefore, he waited till he really was sure. In order to accept the news. Yeah, that's correct. He's right. Yeah. That's right. Michael's right. If Vayofag fits in now, Rashi, very good. Of course, Vayofag, it means that Nechlaf libo v'holach milahamen. He said lo hayapone eladvarim. It means to say he could not face these words, because if he accepts this as true and it turns out it's not, then he's finished. You're right. So that shows you really that he was right. That he knew that this was like the worst possible trauma, so bad that maybe his whole psyche was changed. You see that when a Chacham says something, it's not stopped. That he was concerned that maybe his whole mind became disrupted. You see, his whole mental life was changed. That wasn't true, but you see that the possibility was there, because you see how traumatic it was when he found out that he was still alive. Yeah, interesting thing. The interesting thing is what Chazal say. Vayedaber Elav is called Divrei Yosef Shadibra Aleihem. You know. So what do the plain pshat in the pasuk is? He told him. He says, what do you say to him? He says. The Gatam Lavi is called Kvod Mitzrayim, it's called Sharisim. And all the things that he spoke. But Chazal say no. Chazal say it means Divrei Torah, basically. It means Vayasa Golos, means that Vayasa Golos is a simon that was Divrei Torah, basically. So you see that the interesting thing was that's in line with what Tignum Unkelus says, that Ben Zakunim is Bar Hakim, which means to say that the only way, since Yosef to him essentially was always tied with Chachma, the only way the relationship could begin, even on an emotional plane, was with the Chachma. Without the Chachma, even on an emotional plane, there couldn't be any kind. It's an amazing thing. Because ordinarily, you say a father and a son, yes, finds out the son's alive, that's unbelievable. Then we'll talk about learning. Yeah, we'll get together and learn, of course. But the first thing had to be the learning. But the whole relationship was really essentially tied, was Bar Chakim, was tied to learning. And even in the midst of the most traumatic emotional experience of finding out that he's alive, it had to be that was the thing. He's cold divrei Yosef shadibalayim. He's a Torah. Once the idea of Yosef and being a Talmud Chacham came into existence, that's when the relationship returned. An interesting thing. Yet a Chacham in life always plans things where there is an objective. But then there's an area. As a matter of fact, I think that's characteristic of a true Chacham. Most of the time, most people that are not real Chachamim, you'll notice they're always planning things all over. But most of those places, there's just no reason for it. You know what I'm saying? It's not that a person that's not a real Chacham is devoid of plans. On the contrary, I find that people that are less Chachamim have more plans than the Chachamim do. I mean, they have plans about how they're going to go here and there, dress this, wear that, this car, this, that. I mean, they're the ones that are, what is it? The other pasuk, that the name Bikshe Cheshbonas Arbe. I mean, Cheshbonas Arbe. The life of a person that's not a true Chacham is very complicated and very planned, and every little thing he goes through meticulous steps in order to do things which basically have no real objective. But I think a Chacham's life is just the opposite. That really, in general, is less plans. But in the areas that are important, that's where they plan. And Yosef HaTzadik's plan was really to make the Achim b'chozer b'tshuva. Make the chozer. That once he accomplished that, then his emotions let loose. And it really didn't make any difference if it breaks to him this way or that way. I don't think it makes a difference. What difference does it make? So what? That's not an area where there's going to be anything accomplished in terms of ruchnius. I mean, in terms of the achim. Yeah, that's why the pasuk says this. What does the pasuk say? V'lo yochol Yosef lesapek. So what's the pshat? What's the pshuto shel metana? It means to say that when did he do it? When emotionally he couldn't tolerate anymore. You'll tell me, but a chacham doesn't go by emotions. So that's what I'm telling you. Depends where it is. That if it's an area that's deserving of chachma and planning, that's where chachma has to plan. But once he saw he accomplished the goal, then it's just a matter of emotion, so there's nothing to plan. So he couldn't contain himself anymore. Once he saw the goal was accomplished, his emotions just broke forth, and there was no reason not to just do what he felt like doing. I mean, of course, explain the whole situation, but it doesn't mean that a chacham is devoid in every aspect of emotion. It's not true, because there are areas of life where it doesn't make any difference. So, like I said, foolish people usually plan in those nonsensical areas. Chacham doesn't make any difference. Those areas are just leave to the way the emotions are. That's a puzzle. But Yochel Yosef Sapek. Once the plan was there, there was no other plans. Yosef was the greatest psychologist. So I'm saying that he was asking a question based upon human psychology. He knew that there were two possible reactions, and he was trying to find out which one he took. So apparently, I mean, when the Dao's question is a two psukim. One is Ani Yosef Odevichai. Then the next pasuk says that Ani Yosef Achichem Shemachatmas Mitzrayma. So why didn't he say that first? Or I mean, what's the apparently when he first thought that would be enough? Ani Yosef Odevichai. And then when he saw that happened, then he had to start again. And he had to start again. Because he didn't realize he thought they'd be able to handle it. And Yosef, that's it. What more do you have to tell him? I mean, to start the conversation, that's it. But it was Nivalim Yiponov, because, and the interesting thing, why was it Nivalim Yiponov? because of their own guilt. Their own guilt. That's what the that's why it's never going to punish. He didn't judge the extent of the of how badly they felt about it. How badly they felt about it. So then he had to, use to reintroduce himself. You see, he had to do it again. This is an interesting thing because first he says, "Ani Yosef Odo Vichai," right? So you would think on the surface that would be easier, an easier kind of introduction than "Ani Yosef Achichem Hashem Achatam Hashem Mitzrayim." I mean, right? Yeah, because this is really worse, right? But it turns out just the opposite is true. That "Ani Yosef Odo Vichai," it says "Nivelu Mipanav." That's what Chazal say. Now, because and on the contrary, "Ani Yosef Achichem Hashem Achatam Hashem Mitzrayim," they were able to tolerate. You see, but the truth of the matter is that's correct. Why is it correct? Because you're dealing with a different level of a person over here. In other words, the reason why they were nivalu was not because of the fact that they committed the crime, so to speak, and they were caught. That's an average person. They that's something that they can handle. Okay, what they couldn't handle was the realization of what they did to their father. That they couldn't handle. That was nivalu mipanav. So what did he do? So then in his next introduction, he changed the focus. Instead of talking about his father, he says, "Hashem machatam asim mitzrayimah." You see? So he changed the focus of the conversation to the fact that they sold him. That they could handle. That they were able to handle. That's why it's just the opposite. Odo vichai, they couldn't handle. Machatam asim mitzrayimah, of course. They know that he knows. I mean, so it's reality, and they could accept that. That wasn't nivalu. So he reintroduced himself and changed the focus of the conversation. That's why they were able to tolerate. Yeah, the fact that he showed them that he was a mole, Chazal say, it means to say that he had to dispel all doubts. Because how do they know really? He changed in appearance, and he could still be suspicious. Maybe this person met Yosef years ago, and he claims he's taking on his identity. I mean, how do you really know it's the person? So that's correct. The fact that he showed them that he's a mohol was two things. First of all, nobody else was a mohol in those days, and secondly, no one knew the significance of it. So by showing them that he's a mohol, he was showing them that he's a ben Avraham Avinu. And he knows the whole philosophy and the essence. Then that's the essence of Ben Bris. I mean, basically Ben Bris. It also shows the concept of Ben Bris is the one thing. Well, Bris Chosher Samtav Sereno, that is the one thing that the person always has. That's a mitzvah, basically. That's a constant. That actually changes. There's a change in the gavra, the commitment of the gavra. Ben Bris. So especially called Matan Torah, actually. Kodamat Antar more so than even Lacham Antar, because then it was really the commitment was close to Bris Avraham, and later Nitzan Eschach Alach. So actually, this was the sign of the commitment to the God Elokei Avraham. So that was a clear cut proof. You could never give a better proof than that. How else could he? In other words, the only way he could really prove it is through the knowledge of the ideas and the fact that it was a mole. That was the only way that he could. That dispelled all doubts.
The ideas
immediately. Yeah, correct. That's the only way. Yeah. So I guess so. You see, so once he saw it was nivalu miponov. So then he realized that there's a danger that they may simply reject him. Say this is he's an imposter. So he first showed that he Gishuna Lave Gushu was he demonstrated without beyond any shadow of a doubt that he's that person. And then he directed the conversation to the facts. I mean when I said that they felt guilty, I don't mean an emotional reaction. I mean, guilty in the true sense because of the realization of the chait. That's what Chazal say, that if the tochach of a boss of a dom is like this, kal v'chomer, the first goes baruch. Really? Okay. Movie? Yeah, okay. All right, so in the end of Vayechi, so you have the story, the account of Yosef and his brothers. So it says, Vayirach Yosef Kimeis Aviyem, they saw their father died. Vayomer Lu Yistamein Yosef. Vashay Yashalano Eskola Rosh Gamon Losa. So that maybe Yosef will hate us, and now he'll get us back, he'll take revenge, so to speak, for all the evil that we did to him. Okay? So then it says, Ve'etzavol Yosef Maimar, they said to Yosef, saying, Avicha tzivu lefnei ma'asalema. Kasomu li Yosef, ana sono, pesha achecha v'chatasom kirag malucha. You should, there's a tzivu from our father, that you should forgive the sins of your brothers, because it's true that they did evil to you, but nevertheless you should forgive them. And now they said, Vata sono lefesha avdei elakei avicha. Okay. So of course this pasuk of Vayirach Yosef Kimeis Aviyem, and they said that they're afraid that Yosef now is going to do evil unto them. So this really throws a whole different picture. I mean, it's amazing. You see, like the when the Torah gives an account of something, so you usually fill in the account, so to speak, with with your own things from your own mind. And you see that when you're up to this point, you have the impression, that Yosef and his brothers are really back together again, and the ava between them is rekindled, and everything is fine. I mean, that's the impression you get because of the account that took place in Vayigash when they got together. So, but over here you see it's not so. That's one thing. See, right away that's not the case. It really wasn't a situation where there was a recapturing of the achva. I mean, from early times before the sinah developed, there was never such a recapturing of the achva. If that were the case, they never would have said that. They wouldn't have said, "Well, Yisrael, why should they suddenly think? I mean, after all he did for them all these years, why should they think suddenly that now he's going to take revenge?" So that's where Chazal come in. Because Chazal noticed right away it's a problem. They say, suddenly, what is this sudden statement that they were afraid? What happened? I mean, something must have happened. What changed? I mean, the account up to here seems to be everything was fine. So Rashi says, basically it's a Tirgum Yonasan Ben Azil that says that... It says, "V'chamach Yosef aramayis avuon v'lo hava mistachar imhon kachado lemechol lachado." He didn't socialize with them to eat together. Okay, that's what happened over here. So Rashi says, "Shehayu regilim lisar al shulchana." Same shot. Shel Yosef, v'yeh makarvon b'shvil kvod aviv. All right, u'mishemes Yaakov lo karvon. That's what happened. In other words, before that time, they used to eat together. And therefore, they weren't concerned. So he's friendly. But then suddenly he stopped that. Stopped eating with them. So they sensed a danger. They sensed a danger. Okay, of course, it shows you that even when he ate with them, obviously, it's not like you get the impression that it was really rekindling of the whole achla, because otherwise a little event like that is not going to change. Apparently, even though he ate with them, it never was 100%, but that was something which they depended on, that fact that he was happy to eat with them and socialize. They counted on that. So that stopped, so suddenly they were afraid, which means all along there was always the fear, but the fact that he ate together with them, that assuaged their fear. You know, that calmed them down. Okay, so it's a different impression that you get just from reading the Pesukim. Up to this point. Yeah. So the question, of course, is, why? I mean, why? And why did they, why, and also, why did the Achim make up that story? I mean, you have to understand, why did the Achim make that story about the father? This explains the story. So the apparently, you see like this. You see that Yosef was Yosef HaTzadik, and he's a Tzadik Gomer, so whatever he did was correct. certainly this area, when he put his mind to it and thought about it. So why really didn't Yosef befriend them and make them feel secure and socialize with them in a way that they could really sense that he's really with them totally, the Ava's there, the Achva? But you see that he didn't do it. Interesting thing. So what does this show you? I mean, it's an interesting thing. Insofar as being mochel them, there's no question that he was mochel them. There's no question, because the Rambam says the person was mochel everybody. And that's Allah Psuga. And Yosef HaTzadik definitely was mochel them. That is clear from the Psukim, and it's clear from the fact that he was a tzaddik, and he wouldn't not be mochel them. Okay, wouldn't bear grudge against them. So what really? What? How do you explain his relationship, the way he acted, his conduct? How do you explain that? So from this you see an interesting thing. You see that if a person wrongs you, that you mechuyef in mochel, especially yes mechuyef certainly, but I think the Rambam says the tzaddik is always mechuyef everybody. Mechuyef too, but he is. But nevertheless, mechilah is not the same thing as a rekindling of the friendship. That's not the same thing. In other words, the world says forgive and forget. It means that you forgive somebody, it means you forget everything, and now you're just as friendly with them as before. That's what most people think mechilah is. Mechilah means it's completely erased now. Now I'm mechuyev. Once I'm mochel a person, I'm mechuyev to feel towards him as I did before the sin they committed against me. That's the way most people understand mechilah. From here, you see that's not true. That mechilah simply means, all mechilah means is that you do not want the person to be nenash because of his act, his conduct. That's what mechila means. And mechila means, you see, the whole way, what's the whole idea of mechila really? You see, in the Rambam, mechila itself is a strange thing. Because the halacha is that you have to come to the person three times. And then if he doesn't do not mechila after three times, you don't have to worry about it anymore. I mean, it's a strange, what kind of a thing is it? I mean, either you do or you don't. And the Rambam says that a chait has been on lachavero, the Rambam says that even tshuva is not mechaper until you go over and yes, mechila. So, okay, so then if it depends on his mechila, so then why, so it should be 100 times. Okay, the only case, the only time it says it's 100 times is a Rebbe. Yeah, Rebbe says a filamehapam. But an ordinary person, three times. Alacha three times, he's mechuyef to Michael three times. And if he's not Michael, then we say goodbye. And if he dies, so there's a way you go to his kever with 10 people and a whole, what kind of thing is that? I mean, he's dead. I mean, where's the mechila? So, is it telling him? Is it not telling him? So apparently, the concept of tshuva is always been Adam Lamakal. It's always been Adam Lamakal. But the thing is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives an individual a certain rights that an individual has. So therefore, he has certain rights. If you wronged him, he has certain rights. And that's why tshuva doesn't help, because you're violating the rights that God gave him. So tshuva's always been on Lamar. I mean, that's where tshuva is. When Ram says tshuva doesn't work, he doesn't mean that it's a division of powers over here between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and between his chaver. That's not true. It's always been on Lamar. That's it. But the Makam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gave a person certain rights, and if you wronged him, you owe him something. So you owe it to him, and as long as you don't, it's just like the halacha of a Rebbe that's why? Because Torah delay. What does it mean Torah delay? It means that that's the way the system is set up. It's his right. He wants a machal. It depends on he personally has the right for the cup. God's system of justice defines the area. The system of justice states he has justice demands that you owe him something personally. That's justice. Now, once you fulfill that obligation and he refuses to be mochel, then it's not your problem anymore. That's it. This means that you fulfill your obligation, and that's it. You see? And the Rebbe's different, because exactly. Greater rights. That's it. Rebbe's has different rights. There's a different relationship between a Talmud and a Rav and between two Chaverim. So a Talmud owes something to the Rav that if he wrongs the Rav, that the Rav has a right not to be machal. You can count them 100 times. He never is finished with his obligation to him. It's an endless obligation. And a very simple reason. Because what's a Rav? A Rav is a Torah Shebal Peh, Torah, Limud. So for that, you can't place a fixed quantity on such a thing. It's priceless. So therefore, if he wrongs the Rav has a right not to be machal. That's an eternal right he has, and his problem is he has to try to get the Rav to be machal. If he doesn't, he doesn't succeed. That's it. He's nanishvah. Has nothing to do, that's what I want to explain to you, that Lositar and Mechila have nothing to do with each other. Lositar means that you cannot harbor a personal grudge. What Yehadis does is it divides up the emotions into different categories. Lositar means an emotional grudge. Now you could be mocho someone, you see, and still retain an emotional grudge, you see, or you could not be mocho someone. You could not be mochel someone and not have a personal grudge. they're not interdependent. They're two separate phenomena.
I don't see that second one.
See,
that's
not,
recognize
no. Them, basically. No. I don't have a personal grudge. I'm still not mochel. I don't have a personal grudge because the way I look at life, the way, you see, I mean, that's something that that I explained. We were discussing this in the car. That the way that according to, when you, especially when you study Tillum, you see the way David HaMelech looks at his enemies, it's not in a personal way. In other words, an enemy is simply just like, that's why, well, for instance, when Shimon ben Gera cursed David, so I think it was Avishai, said, Eilech Nova Suras Rosha, said, right? So what did David HaMelech say? So David HaMelech said, it's not Shimon that's cursing, it was Kim Amar, right? What do you mean? Come on, later he said, make sure he doesn't die a peaceful death, right? Who kill Rami Klo on the Mretzes? Beyond Lechti Machanayim, right? Is that right? But I guess both things be true. The answer is like this: the answer is insofar as what he was doing. You see, insofar as what he was doing, he was a Rasha, and it's Chayav Misa, no question about it. But insofar as David HaMelech looked at a Rasha and an enemy. Didn't look at him in a personal way. He looked at him like a plague, like a maka. In other words, a person psychologically has a different feelings towards a disease that's attacking him than he has towards an enemy that's attacking him. It's a different kind of a situation. See? Which one's worse? I don't know. It's two different kinds of emotions. See, a disease is an impersonal thing. It's a situation. Okay? And it can, of course, be a frightening situation. But it's a different kind of a fright. It's a different kind of a mental framework. Whereas an enemy is something completely different. An enemy is a personal situation where another human being is out to get you. So that's a different... That's a personal kind of an encounter. A personal encounter. And for most people, the reason why the enemy bothers them is because... they give into the same framework as the enemy. The enemy is trying to get you, so you accept that framework and you want to get him or you don't want him to get you. So you enter into his frame of reality. You really can't have an enemy unless you're in the same frame of reality. You're outside the frame. If you look at him like a maka, I mean a plague, he's not really your enemy. He's not really, what's the word I mean? He's not really your, excuse me? He's not your adversary. That's right. He's not really your adversary. That's right. An adversary means you're in the same playing field. Okay? So David HaMelech never looked at an enemy as being in the same playing field. See? It's like an extraneous thing. See? What was it, Mr. Shimon on Shabbos? Atabed Eini Bishuroi. Bakom Alay Mereim Tishman Oznai. Means to say that he's not really involved. You see? He doesn't, he just looks at them like a plague. And he relates only to one frame of reality that's God's. It's God's frame of reality. That's it. The enemy's there. That's a part of human existence. It's a part of human existence. I mean, you go through Tillim, you see David Malach talks a lot of enemies. Talks a lot about a lot of Tillim is discusses that, how he was successful against his enemies. So you see that. But if you look at Tehillim, the godless of Tehillim is, it's not that David is bragging that he was successful and victorious and God made him victorious over his enemies. That's not what the Tillim is saying. If you look at it carefully and look at the language and the semantics of Psukim, you see what David Melch is saying is, they're not really in the same framework as me. I look at them as simply a part of the existence that God placed me in. So there's disease, there's people, there's all kinds of situations. But basically the only framework that he is in is the framework of God. So therefore, when Avishai said Eilech Novosuras Rosho by Shimi Ben Gera, so David HaMelech sensed that answer was a response based upon the same framework. He's going to curse you, I'll just go and cut his head off. You see? In other words, we don't have to stand for this. So it was an adversarial kind of a comment. So that's why David HaMelech said, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Mikal. Don't look at him on a personal plane. This is part of life. This is the Seder Olam that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed me in, and that's it. But later wasn't a question of an adversary. It was a question of Kavod Malchus and a Russia that's Chayav Misa. So he told Shlomo, as a matter of justice, make sure that Lo Yered Seivaso B'Shalom Sha'ol. That was another thing. That's a different kind of two different things. Two different things. Excuse me? Melech Shabbat Lo Yered Kavod Malchus. Right. That's right. So... That's correct. Yeah. Losikim, that's right. The chinuch says this pshat in Losikim. That's a man's machine. That's correct. The chinuch Losikim is exactly that. Because it sounds strange. What do you mean, God? This Russia did it. God didn't do it. He has free will. Right? Yeah. But that's what I mean. It means to say that you can't place yourself in the framework of the Russia. That's what it means, basically. And most of the pain that a person endures with a in a personal adversary is because he submits this framework. It's an interesting thing. Otherwise, it's just like a disease. I mean, you don't feel the same way towards disease as you do towards an enemy. See? That's really what God just demands. That a person should not view it. And if you view it that way, then it's impossible, it's virtually impossible to be involved in Nekama. That's what it is. Because Nekama means that you're in the same framework. See, there's no reason, because when you take revenge on a cancer, he's like, can't take revenge. It's an inanimate object. It's part of that's it. So that's why. I mean, the emotion of revenge really is ipso facto placing the adversary in your framework. You see, okay? That's what that's awesome. You cannot submit. You cannot enter his framework. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. That the fact that he cursed me is that's what the Ramah said. This is part of God's cheshbon. This is part of the cheshbon of my life. I have to endure this. So there's no reason to take revenge. Avishai said, you see, from the Lashon, I mean, we'll cut this guy down in 2 seconds. Who does he think he is? You see? So, what's the point? So the point is that mechila is a different kind of a thing. All mechila means is that you don't want this person to be nenash because of you. That's what it means. I don't want to be nenash. I, in other words, the right that God gave me, I'm forfeiting. He gave me a right to hold it against him, and until he comes to me, I have certain rights in this situation. So mechila is amaychol. I don't care. I don't want to be nenash because of me. That's mechila. But it has nothing to do. It has nothing. That's why both things are possible. You could be mochel somebody, and you can continue to hate him. Of course, you could say it's not mutual. Say I'm mochel. I don't want God to punish me, but I still hate the guy. I still feel I hate the guy, and I'll take care of him. Yeah. Or vice versa. It's possible not to hate somebody, because you're not in this framework. But who says I'm mochel? No, I think you should be nenash. I want it to be done after Kosar, not because of the fact that I bear a grudge against him. I really don't care about him. But who says I want to be machal? It's a separate right I have. I don't want him machal. I don't want him. I don't. Why you wouldn't be machal? It's just that because that's God says I'm not machal yiftu. I'm not machal yiftu. There's a certain quality in mechila. It means that the person is really, what is mechila really doing? When a person asks for mechila, what is he doing? He's reinstating you, your rights, in terms of the wrongdoing. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to say, I did something wrong and I violated your rights. I want to reinstate it. I feel sorry about it. I want to reinstate. That's what he's trying to do. So if he does, he's successful. See, mechila. But if he entreats you three times and you refuse, and it's a sincere asking for mechila, then that's it. You don't have a right to subordinate another human being more than that. He subordinated himself enough. Now it's your problem. It's a system of justice, okay? But justice is made not on lachavero. In other words, by gneva. You can't steal from somebody and ask God for mechila. I mean, do tshuva. I mean, mechila. You can't do that because you owe that person a certain thing. So, I mean, it's the same thing. It's the same thing, but it's not just monetary areas. It's also in the areas of the personal. There are personal rights also that an individual has. Okay, not just monetary rights. So if you violate his monetary rights and his compensation, you pay him back. If you violate his personal rights by asking for mechila, subordinating yourself and asking for mechila and reinstating his status, that's like compensation in the monetary frame. The same idea. If I don't bear a grudge against somebody, it means I don't think about them. They're not important to me. But mechila is an act. Now I say I'm making a judgment that you're asking me to think about this, and I should actually say that I don't want you to be punished because of me. I'm not interested in doing that. I don't want to see you. I'm not interested in you. I don't bear any grudge. I just don't want to do that. You violated my rights. I'm not mechuyef to do it. Mechila is a separate system. I'll give you an example. What if somebody steals money from you? Okay? So I say, do you bear a grudge against them? No. Does that mean you mechal the money? No. Doesn't mean that. There's the same exact thing over here. There's no, you understand what I'm saying? Do you bear a grudge? No, I don't bear grudges to anybody. People steal from me, I don't care. I don't bear a grudge. I don't, but does that mean that I'm mochel him the money? No, I'm not, because I deserve compensation. And the same thing is true on a personal level. It's a personal idea of compensation.
What are you getting that someone else could punish?
Why I don't want to be mochel? It's justice. This is, did God say is just? Then it's just. I'm ready to have the system of God be implemented. I have no personal agreement. That's it. There is a system of justice. And there's nothing wrong if I have a right to say I want to implement the system of justice. He wronged me and he's going to be nanished because of that. Fine. That's the system. That's it. Because tzaddik chonein v'nosein. Means that tzaddik is a different, his giving is a different kind of giving. He means to say he doesn't feel he gave anything. It's a different level of an individual. It's a different type of personality. But there's a tzaddik gomor. It's a one kind of person. And there's a regular person. There's nothing wrong with the system of justice. Doesn't mean that because you're not a tzaddik that you're not just. That's a different thing. There's a lefnim mishur zaden. I mean, everything is not one in one category. There are categories here. What did the sorry man say? Yishpat alakim ben yivadecha. That's it. There's a system of justice here. You wouldn't harm the person. You would do the person a favor if it didn't infringe your life. Yeah, you vaftal recha kamocha. I mean, you can kind of vaftal recha kamocha in an abstract way. Yes, fine. But I'm a machal now. It's not a contradiction. In other words, basically what it means is that just because you're not mochel doesn't mean you bear a grudge. It means you go by a certain system of justice that God established, and I want to go by that system. That's it. I'm not mechilas mechilas. I'm not mechilas. You see, the term mechila is used by mechilas mama in the same way as mechilas used over here. Same exact word, because it's the same concept. Basically, it means the system of justice. But this justice is not just in terms of monetary; it's in terms of personal as well. Okay. So same thing. Going to the grave is the same thing. It means that's what you could do, and therefore you undo the wrongdoing against him personally as a human being. You infringed on his human dignity, and now you're restoring it. That's what it means. Okay, it means that human dignity is a reality. It's a reality. Okay? Yeah. So I think like this. That Yosef HaTzadik, you must say he was Michael. Because Ram says HaTzadik is Michael, right away. Michael everybody. Every night he's Michael everybody. So therefore you must say that he was Michael. But what do you see? You see that even though he was Michael, it doesn't mean that it's as if the event never occurred. It doesn't mean as if the event never occurred. I mean, the fact is that they wronged him. The fact is that they wronged him. And the fact is that insofar as being able to enjoy this individual, that he was not able to do anymore. To enjoy them on a personal level, he couldn't. That he couldn't do anymore. The thing, so what does it mean? It means to say, so the question is, of course, why should he be that way? I mean, why should he be that way? It's not right, because we say Mahu Afata, okay? So you should be like God. So what does it say with regard to Rabbanu Shlomo? It says that that if a person asks God for mechila and he does tshuva, it's as if it never happened. Okay, right? So you see, on the contrary, so you see that a person is God for mechila, does tshuva. So you see that he's completely nimchal. It's as if it never happened. And he could be, you know, one day he could be the most despicable of existences, and the next day he could be the closest being to God. So we should say the same thing. We say ma'wafata. So we should implement the same standard. Insofar as humanly possible, okay, in ma'wafata. So what right? Then why couldn't Yosef really just make believe that it never happened and enjoy them again? So the answer I think is two answers. First of all, the answer is that truth, Yahadis really is a system of truth, an emes, and we never make believe that something doesn't exist if it might exist. Okay, there's no such thing. That's a guy have an idea like that. But we hold from reality. So when a person asks God for mechila and he does tshuva, so God knows that he really did tshuva. Okay? Because l'kim yer l'levav. God knows what's in the person's yodeh talumos. God knows what's in the person's heart. So if God knows yor olav yodeh talumos she'ino shov l'cheid zeh l'olam, so then it's that's true. So then of course he's as if he never did it. God doesn't hold it against him. But by human being, the pasuk says ha'adam yirelai nayim, that you really could never know what's in the other person's heart. So therefore, if a person does a serious wrong against you, are you supposed to make believe because he asked you for mechila? You're supposed to make believe he never did it. He's not going to do it again. No, Yahadis doesn't demand that a person be a fool and think that just because someone asks him for mechila, to think that he knows what's in his heart. He doesn't know. But he has to be down the kafschus insofar as if he thinks he's serious in the mechila, and if he complies with the standards and halachas of mechila, he's mechuyev to be mechal. Okay, mechuyev to be mechal. That means that he doesn't want that person to be nenash al yodo, okay. And if he doesn't, so then it's not this person's problem. On the contrary, he's nenash. That's it. He's the Russian. So he's the Russian. Wasn't because he's not abiding by the system of justice. But to say that you know if a person does a serious wrong against you, to say that you know that he's not going to do it again because he asked you for mechila is not logical. You don't. I mean, I'm not saying there aren't cases where you can know. There may be cases where you can know, but most of the time you really don't know because Adam Yul and I am, and you need a lot of rayas to prove and to see that it's really true. So therefore, basically, insofar as mechila is concerned, yes, but insofar as relating to this person as if he's a tzaddik or he's an ohev and he never would do this again. That's a different matter. That's not saying the same thing. That's not the same thing. So basically, when a person wrongs another human being, it could be forever. It could be forever. In other words, mechila he can give him, but the relationship, can in many instances, most instances I'd say, can never be restored. Can never be restored again, because the fact that the person did this, it shows he's capable of doing that. It's very difficult for a person to know, to ascertain that this individual really has changed. I mean, that's between him and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's Yodei Talumas. But another human being doesn't know. So therefore, your relationship towards him is you have a right to relate towards him as you would towards any person that you see that's not really after your best interests. You see, because then you don't know. That was mechila is one thing, and how you evaluate the other person. For instance, Allah, of course, v'haflu recha gamacha, but that explains that's a philosophical idea of v'haflu recha gamacha. That means, I explained that one time, it's a different kind of an idea. It means that everybody is yitzir kapa shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's really an expression of avas Hashem. But but insofar as the personal is concerned, if you see an individual, I mean, after all, every Jew is not a tzaddik. So you see an individual that you see his ways are a little doubtful, the way he acts. You can't take him to the house and trust him and this. I mean, you become his friend. You relate to him like a close friend. You could be very seriously harmed. So you have a right to distance yourself. And every person has the right. But what Chazal say? Chabdeyu v'chashdeyu. Even a Talmud Chacham, chabdeyu. Yeah, very nice, because he's a Talmud. Chashdeyu, you have a right to be a suspect of him. So therefore, apparently, it would seem that Yosef HaTzadik never really they asked him for mechila, but he never really was able to rekindle the old achva. And apparently, there was always something that he always was really. Suspect of them, and he was suspicious of them, and they were suspect. He was suspicious of them, and therefore he couldn't really relate to them in a totally free, friendly manner. With a chaver means there's an achva there. Means to say you trust him, you trust the person, you take him into your personal life. With a chaver, a person exposes himself in a way that would be dangerous towards other people that are out that may decide to destroy him. Yeah, take a person into confidence, friendly. I mean, friendship demands that certain kind of a situation. You can't do it with a person that you're suspicious of. It's impossible. So basically, it shows you that Yosef HaTzadik, as much as he was mochel, but he never really forgot what they did to him. Never really forgot what they did to him, and he was never sure that there's no guarantee that given the situation they might do it again, or given other situations he wouldn't trust them. In other words, there was a lack of trust there, and it was justifiable and he had a right to do it, because in Yahadis we go by the emes. We don't ask a person to just override his emotions and just be friendly with him as if it never happened, when his mind tells him, what do you mean it did happen? Never, it did happen. How do I know that they really did tshuva? God knows they did tshuva. Fine, I hope they did tshuva. But it doesn't mean that I must lower my guard and have a relationship in a way that I I'm exposing myself to danger. Yes. And I'm not saying that Yosef thought that they would do it again in the same situation. Of course he wanted them to do tshuva, he tried to do things to move them to tshuva, he wanted to see that they... But that's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. It's not undoing the event. The event, he was never able to forget what they did to him. That was something which remained permanently between them and could not be overcome. That's why really the psukim in the end...
What was he afraid of?
See, they misread him. They thought that really maybe he's harboring a personal hatred. That's what they're afraid of. Because apparently, you see, it was a cold relationship. If it was a really friendly relationship, you don't think a person really friendly, you don't think he's harboring unless a person is a paranoid or something. Normal person doesn't think that way. So what? That's not a bad shot. The thing is, what swayed them was the fact that he invited them to his table. They were looking for it, and they thought in that you see that he somehow does want to have the friendship. But it turned out when the father died, they said, "Oh, we made a mistake. That which we thought we were hoping was really friendship, that wasn't that." As a matter of fact, he really didn't enjoy us at all. But why did he do it? Only because cover Abba. Because the cover of Yaakov Avinu. That's the only reason he did it. He basically tolerated it. He tolerated it. And as soon as the cause was gone, namely his father, it stopped. Okay. Now, that's one reason. There's a second reason why I hold that this is something I was thinking about. I think it's correct. That why a person is not machoyev just simply, like the world says, forgive and forget. Okay. Besides this reason, that you have to be based in reality. Okay, based in reality. But there's another reason also. Because mahu afata. See, what does mahu afata mean? Mahu afata does not mean just like a Kadosh Baruch Hu is a rachum amarach. That's ridiculous. Okay. It means to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a rachum because he has no emotions. So whatever he does, it simply stems from the fact that it's from one source of the ultimate good. His wisdom, his omniscience, his essence. It means everything stems from the perfection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is an infinite concept. So therefore it says that you too should relate to others on that plane. Similar to what we were talking about before. In other words, you shouldn't relate to people on an emotional plane. You should relate to people just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he doesn't have personal friends and enemies. He looks at the whole world and he does things for Tikkun Olam. For Tikkun Olam, okay? For Sakin Olam Malchus Shaddai. So a person should also live in that framework, essentially. Look at people objectively, not subjectively. Objectively is when you're utilizing the Tzelem Elokim. So that's what it means, that you should be like God. It means to say, imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means the Tzelem Elokim. Nasa Adam Kitzamekim Nasa. It means to say that what? It means to say that man has a certain element, a different element of than the animal kingdom has. And through that element, he could, insofar as he uses it, and he uses it in his relationships and the way he looks at everything, then he's Mekayim Ma'alafato. That's the Ma'alafato. Okay? So therefore, what I say is like this, that Ma'alafato is only in that realm of the Tzelem Elokim. Okay? But let's say I want to enjoy myself with a friend, with a chaver. Emotional enjoyment. Anything wrong with that? Kum yeshisa b'davar. Do you want to sit down with your friends, with your chaverim, you want to enjoy a meal with them, you want to drink wine with them, you want to have an enjoyment? I mean, that's an emotional thing. In that area, you can't say malafata. That's not the highest area of man. But there's no isser. I mean, there's no isser in it. I mean, the highest person can't always be in the highest. A person is entitled to have a little enjoyment of chaverim. As Ram say in Amar Nevuchim, a person needs friends all his life. It's a part of our needs. So insofar as a person is addressing his needs, that's not in the realm of malafata. You understand what I mean? So therefore, you can't constrain me. You must enjoy being in this person's company. I don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy it. He did me harm, and I look at him, I think of what he did to me, and I can't enjoy it. I want to sit down and enjoy myself with a chava. I can't enjoy myself, and I'm not entitled to do it. I have a right to do it. You see? So basically, that's what it means. So therefore, what it means is that Yosef HaTzadik, okay, even though he was the greatest tzadik, but nevertheless, insofar as the personal was concerned, he was unable to enjoy them after that. That was it. Because the deed that they had done to him was always there. Always was disturbing. Couldn't say that or it's a pasuk in the Navi, okay? In Shmuel thought that the older brother was going to be the Mashiach Hashem. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, "Al tabed al mareyu." Okay, Adam Yerulai Naim, Lakim Yerulai Levav. So you don't know. You're not machuif to make believe, you know.
But let's say
I'm saying what I'm saying is that there are two answers. I mean, like this: that the first answer is true, that you really can't know. But there's another reason, because the whole Malafata doesn't belong in this realm. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, the whole Malafata, this is not the realm of Malafata. Okay, every dawn is called love. Makaf Schus is the same kind of a thing. It means to say, it doesn't mean to say you should be a fool, naive. It means to say that insofar as it doesn't affect you, why should you be down Makaf Schus? Don't jump to conclude that the guy did it because of an evil motive. Why should you jump to that conclusion? Look suspicious. Maybe you don't want to, you don't want to go into a business deal with him. That's up to you. But you have no right to just be suspicious of us. Especially, I mean, it's very difficult to prove, especially if another person is in a subordinate position. Of course, when a person is in a subordinate position, so of course they're going to be nice. They have no choice but to be nice. Obviously, if the brothers weren't fools, I mean, of course they were nice to Yosef. How could they not be nice to him? Supporting them, and everything is from him. But a person in a subordinate position, it's extremely difficult to judge. Because that's because they're in the situation. It's hard to put them to a test even. I'd say the situation of the Achim really made it even more difficult to really know. But that's why, by the way, that's why they said, that's why when they made up that thing, when they made up the story, so they said that the father asked. That's very clever. They said the father of Vichotzivo Lefnei Mosolein. Because they said, why did you do this? Now they saw, what did they see that happened? That he owned it because the father was alive. So that's why they invoked the father. They brought him back. They said, that's the thing that gets him. So then we'll work with that. You see? It was consistent. Saying tshuva to God is one thing. Tshuva for man is not really tshuva, it's mechila. Different thing. It's two different terms. Tshuva is for God and mechila is for human beings. Different thing. He was moved emotionally, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Certain emotions there, over here it says also Vayet Yosef Dabra Melo. Of course, it evokes certain emotions. Man has ambivalent emotions, different emotions. One doesn't contradict, even though they're contradictory emotions, they coexist. That's a principle. And also, I was mentioning this to Howie Bull. Howie Bull wanted to bring a raya. He says, the psukim fit in very nicely because it says, Vatal Tiro, he says, No Chal Kaschem Vestapchem, Vainachem Osu Dabra Lila. Then it says, "Vayeshiv Yosef Sraim Hu Veisaviv Vayechi Yosef Me'ev Esashonim Vayah Yosef Lefayim Bnei Shilashim." What does it say there? "Gam Bnei Mocheb and Menashe Yuldu Al Brikhe Yosef." So, what does that tie up for? Because what it wants to tell you is that again, it's reinforcing the idea that, insofar as the Achim are concerned, there was always a problem, but his Nachas Ruach, his personal satisfaction, was from his family. That's a contradistinction. That the that was basically where his personal enjoyment was really Bnei Shleishim and his mishpacha, his family. So even though he lost out because of the achvoy lost out, that was something that couldn't be rekindled. But he had tremendous nachas ruach from his own family. See, that's why. Otherwise, it doesn't say what's the difference. But that's what it wants to tell you. That's what it wants to tell you. Yeah. You see clearly from the way he answered them, he says, "Atam chashavtam alai roa, Elokim chashav l'tova." Okay? Atam chashav. Yeah, so you see that, in other words, he said, I'm mochel you, I never take revenge, never take advantage of you. That's what he's saying, basically. That's what he's saying to them. In other words, this is an objective plane. I'm in an objective plane. But he didn't say, obviously, that he's going to rekindle the whole emotional thing that they had when he was very young before the whole problem started with the Chalamas. That doesn't say. That it shows that they said, Lu Yistamein Yosef, Vashev Yashiv Lano, it's called a Rosh Hashanah. Why? How could they say that about a tzaddik? Yosef HaTzaddik. The answer is that they were realistic. Yeah. Everybody looks like it's all fine. Who knows what's really going on? And a person has a right to say, look, a situation looks dangerous. That's not a time to say it's a tzaddik. I rely on his tzidkus. That's not the time. You got to be rational.